I just can't get enough of Bob Pompeiani unintentionally imitating Elvis Costello. I can't. I'm depressed, but I'm also happy today. Can you be both those things at the same time?
No. Well, depending on the topic matter, so I guess.
I am. The topic matter begins with this, Malzi, and that is you at an event last night getting recognized as City Limits.
Yes,
right?
By about four different people.
Tell me more about where you were and what these interactions were like and who the autographed jersey was of.
It was the Celebrity Hoops for Hospice event. It was held at Baldwin High School, where people know I'm from and do all my PA announcing stuff from. So I got the opportunity through that. Neil Walker played. Michael McHenry played. Got a chance to talk to them. Steve Blass was one of the coaches. Really cool to be able to meet Steve.
You tweeted me a photo. Did he? That jersey that he signed was part of what was being auctioned off?
No, correct? Actually.
No?
So I knew that I was PA announcing the event. And, you know, Steve's such a legendary figure in the 71 World Series. So I got a jersey, and a friend of mine customized it for me and put Blast 28 on the back, and I asked Steve to sign it for
me.
Wow. And he signed his name, 71 World Series, to Austin, and he put Joy on it. And I'm going to put it in a frame and hang it up in my house.
That is awesome. And then what happened? People would come up and say, Limits, how are you?
There were a lot of different people that did, yes. Really kind people that came up and said hello. Said they listened to the show all the time. There were so many people, it was hard to keep track. There was four, five, six, seven or so that all recognized me from the show. Said they love you. They love listening to the show. We're very complimentary of the show. And they were curious about Ron, and we got good reports from Ron this morning as well.
I did get a good report from Ron last night, too. And you know, thinking about people who are involved in that tragic situation. But he said he was doing fine. He said he was doing okay. Fort Myers took a hit for sure. But Ron's good. And what was the centerpiece jersey there?
So there were a couple baskets and events, and there was one prize at the very beginning that they gave away at the game, and it was a signed basketball by all the players, which was really nice, but that wasn't what stood out. What stood out was a signed Steelers jersey by none other than George Pickens
as
the main giveaway.
And it's great. And you know what? George Pickens, for everything we're talking about this week, has been a productive player and sometimes a great player and a fun player to watch at times when he's not quitting, pouting, throwing his helmet, and jogging on pass routes, right?
And it was a game jersey, like one of those official
That's cool.
type of game jerseys, but yeah.
You know what else people like to talk to me about these days when I see them on the street, or especially at my daughter's volleyball game since it's a volleyball-centric crowd?
What's that?
Our little outing with Olivia Babcock over at Pitt, where we sort of returned a couple of her serves after she threw about 100 past us. Last night, there was a clip of her in a college game blasting a serve to the deep left corner that went untouched.
Yeah.
Do you know how many serves at that level of volleyball go untouched by the opponent?
She's insane. Like, her level of skill, talent, and ability all wrapped into one. I mean, we saw it firsthand, but for people who don't get that close of a view to it and just see it on TV, it is special. That's why I think she's the best player in the country. I mean, she's making people look silly out there. Division one volleyball players playing at the highest level.
She went easy on us, bro. She was going about 60%. Neither one of us would have a chance against that serve. So Pitt volleyball rolling. And before we get back to Pickens, because there have been developments in this story, and somehow, some way, he is obviously the main story again when we have uncertainty about Steelers quarterbacks, which is only the most scrutinized position in this town and arguably in all of sports, for God's sakes. We're talking about George Pickens. Yes, we'll get to the Brian Kelly clip in a moment. I want to get the Penguins out of the way, and I'll see if I can do it in 10 seconds or less. I came home from my kids' volleyball game, forgot to tape the Penguins game, lucky me, and tuned in. I'm not lying about this. Tuned in. It was, I don't know how much time was left, 10 minutes or so. The Penguins are down 4-0 and on the power play. This is right when I tune in. I see Malkin throw a pass to nowhere across the ice, And then it's Letang in a foot race with some guy who taps it ahead of him and scores a crap goal on Jari. So I got the Malkin, Letang, Jari experience in 5 seconds, and I can see that the power play's not fixed, mostly because Sully doesn't appear to have the cojones to take Gino off the thing, which needs to happen. It needs to happen. The power play looked just as bad as it was last year, and if this keeps up, and I know it's only one game, but last year's opener was pretty symbolic against the Blackhawks. It pretty much foreshadowed all of their problems that were going to occur during the season, and now this looks the exact same. Here. Yeah, but only for a second, so I'm going to move on. We'll see the Penguins again tonight, and I wouldn't want to be Sully if they get off to an 0-2. I think they have the Maple Leafs coming up, 0-3. They need to get off to a good start. Then again, maybe he's like Tomlin. He's here for life, and whenever he decides to go, he will. Thank you, Limits. May we move on?
Yes.
George Pickens, developments in the story. I can't believe that we're talking about this still. But what else do you want me to do? Now we have Pickens' dad getting involved, according to Ray Fittipaldo, and on social media. Remember Devin Bush's dad calling the station a few years ago. We may have a burner account, you're telling me. And most importantly, we have a source telling the Post-Gazette, as revealed in Ray Fittipaldo's story, that, quote, Pickens has shown up late for work on multiple occasions this season. When and where does this end? What are we doing here? But I want to be clear about one thing before I even dive into this. And I made mention of this in my Post-Gazette column this morning as well. This is not about excoriating George Pickens, the person. Okay? I mean, he's 23. A lot of us do idiotic things when we're 23. A lot of us do idiotic things at work and half-ass it at work, like he does when we were 23. I don't know about you. Well, how old are you? I was going to say, I don't know.
23. I am 23. I am the same age as George Pickens.
When I was 23, I did the math today. I worked in a pizza shop and called in sick one day with a fake broken arm and never returned to the place. And I'm not even sure they noticed because the head cook was always high. He's probably still in that pizza place and still thinks I'm showing up for work 40 years later.
How did you fake a broken arm?
Told him I had a broken arm when I didn't, over the phone.
Simple enough.
Because I wanted to drink that night. I get it. You know, there's lots of horrible things happening in the world right now. And a football player not running his routes fast enough or showing up late for work isn't one of them. I don't know George Pickens. And the intent here is not to just shred him as a human being. But fortunately or unfortunately for George, this isn't a pizza place. This is pro sports, where he's making millions of dollars. And more importantly, and again, the central point here, is he wants to make about $100 million more. And is he a worthwhile investment? And this ain't about what he's going to do in Vegas. He could go out and have, you know, 13 catches for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. And then you'd have people saying, told you so. Told me and others what? What did you tell us? You were saying the same things last year after the Jaylen Warren incident when Pickens quit on a play there and then explained that he was trying not to get hurt on the play and everybody ripped him for good reason as a football player. And the next week he had a great game and everybody said, I told you so. Well, where are we now? Not showing up for work on time, half-assing it on pass routes, throwing his helmet, all this junk happening again, and now I do feel like Brian Kelly. We're talking about the same things again. I need to hear Bob again singing about Malzy just for a second.
Does anybody anymore in a locker room, like, you know, TJ or Cam, come up to him and say, hey, What are you doing?
What are you doing?
I think, what's that guy's name, Tony?
Todd.
Todd.
No,
Todd.
No, this is Tony.
Yeah, I do remember Tony. I think Todd might have been on to something. And I love that when I said he was Todd from Pittsburgh yesterday, Kabali said, did you really have to add he was from Pittsburgh? Can we hear Todd again with his solution to the Pickens dilemma?
Does anybody anymore in a locker room, like, you know, TJ or Cam, come up to him and say, hey, what are you doing?
I can't get enough of that. I can't. I'm sorry. I've told you many times out there, if I think something is funny, I'm going to say it over and over again and replay it over and over again until we're all sick to death of it. And I'm not there yet. Not with Pomp Song and not with Todd from Pittsburgh. It does bring to mind Pickens enablers. It does. What are they doing? We mentioned yesterday at the end of the show, can you imagine? Can you imagine this guy after jogging around and pouting on the sidelines and compromising his team's ability to win, walking into a locker room the next morning or whatever morning they meet after the game and walking past James Ferrier and Joey Porter and Troy Polamalu and Ryan Clark and Casey Hampton and Aaron Smith and Alan Faneca and Jerome freaking Bettis. It's just different than it used to be. You know, it used to be a certain culture was established by people in the room. To me, it's not even the coach so much as in the, it really is in the room. It's Bettis and Ferrier and company. And I'm not blaming the leadership core here because it can never be just about one leader. It's like you had groups of guys, a group of guys. And then we brought up, perhaps unfairly, because things have changed so much with athletes and teams and locker rooms. Can you imagine George Pickens, the day after he doesn't block for Jaylen Warren and says he didn't do it because he didn't want to risk injury, walking into the 70s Steelers locker room? Yeah, good morning, Jack Lambert. Good morning, Joe Green. Good morning, John Stallworth and Mel Blunt and Mike Webster and Rocky Blyer. How's everybody doing today? I don't think that would have gone well for George. I don't think it would have gone well. But like I said, maybe that's unfair. But now we have these developments. Come on, man. Late for work. As Fittipaldo says on multiple occasions, like this again now gets back to when Mike Tomlin starts to lose these guys and there's a specific position where he loses them. It's receiver. He can't get them back. Something that Tomlin is doing isn't working. And my sense is that it's enabling, that it's sticking up for these guys when really early it's time to step in and nip it in the bud. He doesn't seem to want to do that. I think that he thinks, and maybe for good reason, and AB's the prime example, he thinks by allowing certain things with these guys, he's at least going to get something out of them for a period of time, like the most out of them, for a period of time before it really falls off a cliff. And maybe there's something to be said for that, but I don't know that that strategy works with everybody. And like I said, once these guys, and there's many examples now, take that turn down a wrong way here, wrong way street, one way street, Tomlin is historically unable to get them to turn around. They're done. They're gone. They're eventually traded. It's Antonio Holmes, Mr. Big Chest, Martavis Bryant, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson. So this is going to be the exception? This? When we have a guy that Tomlin is standing up there talking about snap management as an excuse so he doesn't have to admit he benched him the other night? I can't believe that there have been these developments now to this story, that we're talking about it again, and then now we have He's shown up late for work on multiple occasions, and his dad has gotten into the mix. Did you read this story by Fittipaldo? Limits?
It's not good. It reminds me of Devin Bush all over again, and other athletes where their families get involved. The Ball family, remember LeVar Ball, everything yes. that he would do with Lonzo and LaMelo and be involved in the media circus?
Yes.
It's just another created distraction that's unnecessary. You don't need.
Pickens not speaking up for himself, which I'm sure thrills his teammates that they have to speak for him. Instead of him getting his rear end out there in front of the cameras and explaining it, talking about it. Now they have to either run cover for him, be critical of him, whatever it is. But his dad is on X saying this. It's actually funny. It is funny. But also probably not a good development here. Not a positive development. His father posted on Sunday, and I quote, Arthur Smith, this one is on you. Imagine Smitty reading that one the next day. And he also said, don't try to throw to George now. This offense is sad, says Mr. Pickens.
Contradicting himself, not wanting him to get the ball now. Do you see the burner account? Michael Brewerly? Are we going to get to that? Michael Brewerly?
We got to be careful because do we know for sure this is a burner?
No,
account?
But
this is just, let me just mention the other tweet from the dad before we get to what's his name?
Michael Brewerly.
It would have been really good if Pickens made a burner account and had it named after the two anonymous linebackers that Tomlin mentioned the other day. Who were they? Ika and Oka.
Yes.
Can you get that clip?
It really is a big week for them.
It's a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eko, man, who just got here.
They just got here, Joe. They found them. Here they are. They're ready to play.
My new X account, Free George by Ade and Eko. Mr. Pickens said on Wednesday he posted George Pickens, the athlete, a very fiery competitor that wants to win. He's a very talented young guy that has definitely been misunderstood. He has the super competitive gene. Guys with that gene have to be involved early and often. It's an engaged tactic. Involve him early. This is unbelievable, is it not? Can we get this guy on the show? Oh, my God. Find that tweet and contact him.
And get him on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Get him, Ade, and Iku. We'll have them on the show. Maybe Freiermuth, since he's still and not uneloquently talking about Pickens. Mount Washington was his teammate. And he says, I know his actions probably weren't the right thing to do at the time. For me, I just try to pick him up. Like, these guys are acknowledging what Tomlin isn't. The whole thing's just a mess. It's ridiculous that we're talking about this. But back to, you say there's a burner account. Tell me again what's being said and who this guy is.
So when I was driving home yesterday, the PM team did an incredible segment with Law and Order music in the background. And they had Mr. Malzy on the case. Detective Malzy was the one going through this.
Did they include Bob's song on there?
No, perhaps they did not include that. There's an account named Michael Brewerly. And Michael Brewerly only came into existence a couple days ago. Michael Brewerly, at the time of Pony putting out this nice little screen grab of all the tweets, was just having 55 posts. And he's tweeting at multiple different people, including Pony. He's also tweeting at our friend Nick Faribault, the guy from Slippery Rock.
And what is Michael Brewerly saying?
So Michael Brewerly, and I'm going to try to pull up his full page.
Can you DM Michael Brewerly to ask him if he is in fact Michael Brewerly?
Yes. So I just pulled up Michael Brewerly. He has zero followers,
mm-hmm.
but he is or he is not following anybody. He has 507 followers.
Mm-hmm.
So the last thing that Michael Brewerly has retweeted was a post that said, "Redemption game about to go crazy," and it's a picture of George Pickens. Y'all remember the last time you guys doubted Pickens, said he should be traded, and said he was a bad player? I do. 195 yards and 2 touchdowns on 4 catches against Cincinnati. The last thing that Michael Brewerly has tweeted himself is, "If you built like this, your athletic opinion doesn't matter," with 100% emoji and a profile picture of Nick Faribault pen live.
And he's the guy that I mistakenly thought went to Slippery Rock, right? Do we have that clip where I introduced Faribault? I didn't know him. And for some godforsaken reason, I thought he had gone to Slippery Rock. Do we have that?
Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
That was the greatest introduction to an interview ever.
And Michael Brewerly also said, "Can't wait to see GP back out there on Sunday." Do you think GP calls himself GP? Maybe? Does anybody call George Pickens GP?
I mean, I think anything's possible. He had the F word painted on his face for a Sunday night football game.
Video from Aaron Becker from practice yesterday.
Boris's brother, yes.
Justin Fields to George Pickens, and it's a video of Pickens catching the ball. Michael Brewerly says, "Doesn't look lazy to me."
Well, here's the serious point in this matter, is that it doesn't matter in the big picture what he does in Vegas. Like I just said, he had that great game after the Warren whiff last year. And where does that get us this year? Showing up late for work and half-assing it during a huge game that they lost, by the way, that may be the game that keeps them out of the playoffs, by the way. It's all funny till somebody's eye gets poked out, so right? Isn't that what we say at parties? I mean, this is not really a laughing matter. So he goes out and goes crazy at Vegas. Okay, the central point now with George Pickens is, do you want to sink big money into him? Will the problems outweigh the positive aspects of Pickens? Is he a guy you can win with? Will these issues resurface? Will he become unretrievable like so many other Steeler receivers under Tomlin and eventually do more damage than good in the pursuit of winning? Because again, this isn't a pizza joint. It's a professional football team. And the only thing that matters, the only thing, no matter how old you are, is, are you having a positive impact on the team's ability to win? So I'm going to present that question early right now to you out there at 412-928-9370. The question is not, will George have a big game in Vegas? I wouldn't be surprised if he does. George is, for all the issues, is pretty productive and sometimes great. He's their best offensive player, which is why it was slightly curious that he wasn't playing or trying the other night. "Nothing to see here," said Mike Tomlin. "It's just load management. No different than what we do with 72-year-old Cam Hayward," who played 72% of the snaps, by the way, while Pickens played only 59%. "Nothing to see here." But yeah, the point and the question I want to ask you ultimately is this. Would you sink big money into George Pickens after this season? Yes or no? It's a very simple question, and I'd love to talk about it with you at 412-928-9370. 928-9370. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We're going to have Chris Hoke at the top of the hour. I'm going to ask him simply right off the top. Pickens did what he did the other night, walks into your locker room, 2008 Steelers. What happens? A year after he quit in a game and said he didn't want to block because he didn't want to get hurt. So you can't pass this off as a one-time, first-time thing. Let's get right to the lines on Pickens. I would have preferred not to talk about this today, but then when you have developments like Ray Fittipaldo reporting that Steelers sources telling the Post-Gazette that Pickens has been late to work multiple times, and Pickens' dad getting involved and ripping Arthur Smith. I mean, there's a lot here. And again, it's all, to me, in the context of, okay, get what you can out of Pickens, but, and it might be a lot, you know, just 2 weeks ago, he had 100 yards and helped, you know, a pretty good effort against the Colts, a losing effort, ultimately. And he also fumbled in that game, which we know Mike Tomlin, not a big fan of that, and players have been benched for that before. But would you sink big money and lots of years into him? Is he a good investment? That's the question. That's the big question, big picture question with Pickens right now. Do you, Limits? And you don't have to do it today, of course, but I'm talking as we progress through the season. How are you feeling right now about it?
I don't know if I want to bench my best offensive weapon, if I want to move on from my best offensive weapon, especially after there being a plan in place.
I'm not talking about benching him. I'm talking, how are you feeling right now about the idea of spending $80 million and 3 or 4 or 5 years or $100 million on George Pickens?
Yeah, I know. I think this factors into it, though. I don't feel good at all about spending that type of money and investing that capital in him, especially because the past has shown us that if the Steelers have wide receivers who they believe do not fit in the locker room anymore, they'll move on from them. And that's a lot more money that you're giving George Pickens, at least projected, than what Deontay Johnson had at $18 million. You're talking about another $7, $8, maybe $9 million given to George Pickens. That could be a left guard. That could be a tackle that could protect on the line. That could be two corners.
Or it could be a different receiver. Let's get to the people here. 412-928-9370, 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And you can listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. It's a Sidney Crosby rookie card this week and a Louis Tiant card. So contests run every Wednesday through Friday, right around noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page.
Start Limits with Jack in Brookline.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, can you hear me, Joe?
Yes, I can.
Hey, so I want to start off that I've been a Tomlin supporter, you know, pretty much. But, you know, I'm starting to get, you know, more and more aggravated with almost the arrogance of how he thinks the stupidity of the fans that we can't see that George Pickens is unhappy and that you benched him, you know, during the game. And he goes up to the media and just talks circles around this. And then the players obviously know what's going on in the locker room and they just say it directly to the media. So I don't understand what he's trying to accomplish. It seems as though year after year, the same issues are wrong with the team and he just refuses to address it. I just don't understand why he doesn't go in front of the media and say, yes, George's actions are unacceptable and I'm addressing them in-house. He doesn't have to absolutely rip him to the media. But are you just going to act like nothing is going on when everyone in the country can see it on national TV?
Well, it's like the F-word thing. Like George having the F-word painted on his face the other night and Mike Tomlin claiming that of the 20.3 million people who watched that game, he's the only one that didn't notice that. It's like, Mike, I guess we're stupid, but we're not that stupid. Come on, we're not that stupid. I should emphasize the word that there. Thank you for the call. Some have suggested that Tomlin, if their intent is to trade Pickens, doesn't want to come out and criticize him and rip him and all that stuff, but I mean, other teams have tape, too. You think they're not watching tape of Pickens jogging on his routes the other night? Or they don't see all this? They wouldn't know all of this? I just think it's a continued pattern with Tomlin. I remember Martavis Bryant, and wish maybe you can find the tape. When stuff first started to surface about Martavis being unhappy here, remember when he said, I just want mines, period? In other words, get me the ball. I want my share. Wanted out of town, scrubbed the Steelers, and Tomlin laughed it off as social media stuff. Who cares about that? And then pretty soon he was forced to suspend Bryant, as I recall, for social media snafus. It seems like his first inclination is to brush these things off to either laugh at them or rail against them. And he has admitted with Pickens that he has railed against the idea from the day he got drafted that Pickens was a red flag type of guy. Not a guy that you wanted to be in your organization for a long time. That's not me talking. That's scouts and receiver coaches from other teams. Remember the Bruce Feldman story in The Athletic? He does every year about certain guys, and the topic was boom or bust candidates for the 22 draft, and Pickens was one. And one NFL coach said, yeah, he's talented, but I wouldn't touch him. Obviously, a lot of teams felt the same way. It wasn't really about Pickens' knee injury, I would imagine, for some, because he played after that. Guys come back from knee injuries. He showed he could with his performance in the bowl game that year. There were very clearly and obviously red flags around him. An NFL scout told Feldman, and I quote, there's a lot of upside, but he can't get out of his own way. He's been enabled his whole life. People saying that at the time. So how do you not wonder, is he still being enabled by the same head coach that has enabled others? And to be fair to Tomlin, and in defense of Tomlin, sometimes the enabling is what allows you to extract the most out of a guy for a limited period of time. All these guys that I've mentioned were very productive with the Steelers, very productive. Santonio Holmes helped him win a Super Bowl with an unbelievable play and lots of other plays. But when it started to go bad, it never got better. And they traded him out of town. Antonio's the shining example. Maybe it was Tomlin's enabling, letting Antonio do whatever he wanted without clear punishment, that helped get all that production out of Antonio Brown, especially after things seemed to go wrong after he signed for big money. But hey, he got a lot of great years out of him. He did. Chase Claypool, he got a couple really good years. One great year, and then the second year was still better, I think, than people give it credit for. Deontay Johnson, productive player for a long time. Maybe Tomlin believes that the enabling, and especially the not calling these guys out in public and crushing them, helps to keep their egos stoked to the point where they still want to play. But in every one of those situations, it went bad and they traded the guy. It's only so long that you can continue to enable before it backfires. I guess that's the best way to phrase it. Eventually, the enabling backfires, and it will here too. The question is when. The question is how many years do you get out of Pickens before the whole thing blows up? And he's traded too. Next.
Let's go over to Matt in Regent Square.
Or does he become the one case that you do turn around? History is arguing against Tomlin there, but maybe this will be the one guy that turns it around and it gets better. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Joe? Thanks for taking my call, man. I appreciate it.
Sure.
So it's funny. One of my dad's best friends is a Georgia grad, and the night Pickens was drafted, he got a text and said, not a question of if, but when this kid melts down. And I just think that's coming to light now. You know, the immaturity, maybe the lack of structure and just the discipline isn't there. And it's funny, we're actually flying to Vegas for the game, and I'm really excited just to see the body language, if he finishes plays, and just kind of excited to see how the game goes. But it's a shame, but I wouldn't sign him.
Me neither at the moment. And when I ask the question, it's an honest question, because it's always about production versus, deterioration. Is it worth it? That's always the question here. And at this point, it's a good question. And he may have, like I said, he may have a great game at Vegas. In fact, if I were betting, and what better place to bet, I would bet he would have a good game. And then everybody will say, I told you so. And I would say, told me and other Pickens and Tomlin critics, what? What did you tell us? That he's a good player? A great player? He is sometimes. He is that. He'll help them win some games. That's not the question. The question is he worth a long-term investment? Next.
Here's Danny on the fam.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, let me just say this real quick, and then I'll get into what I have to say. First of all, I was thinking about the name of your show, The Joe Show. I was thinking because of your weird machinations and the noises you make, because I know a little something about that. I do those things, too, to release anxiety.
That is what it is, yeah. It's an anxiety reliever. Yeah.
Yeah. At inappropriate times, I make noises, and, you know, my wife and daughter just, they can't take it. But I just think you should call your show The Joe Starkey Experience. I just think it flows better than The Joe Show. I really... Now, first off,
yeah, I hear you. Thank you.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Okay. It's just a depressing time to be a sports fan in this time. After the deflating Pirates season, after the Steelers and George Pickens now, and then you kind of gave that pep talk yesterday about the Penguins, and Lord, everything that was American last year showed up in that game. The Pirate play was horrible. Tristan Jarry stinks. They're giving up early goals, late goals.
I'm not sure I meant that as a pep talk. I meant it as I'm not buying this crap about however this turns out this season, it's okay that Kyle Dubas was trying to sell the other day. I'm not buying it.
I took it as that because I'm trying to hang on to any thread, and it just all blew up last night. So I'm at the end of my rope. I'm just, you know, 57. I mean, who knows if I'm going to see a winner again before I leave this earth, you know?
You know what you should focus on? You know what you should focus on? Pitt football this week.
I know, but I love pro sports just a little bit better. So, and on top of all that, I get thrown out of the bedroom and the living room last night by my wife and my daughter because I can't quit stop doing this. I love everything, Mosey, and Mosey loves nothing but me.
I'm sorry. I have to thank you for the call. I have to apologize. I got the same thing from a mailman last week on X, Larry, City Limits, who said, "Thanks a lot, Joe. I can't get this stupid song out of my head. I've been delivering mail for 8 hours and sang it for all 8 hours." To which I replied, "If it's any consolation, I can't either. I can't either." And obviously, Bob couldn't. I mean, Bob has been singing this thing for days now, and I apologize to him. The effort there is incredible. If Pickens gave that kind of effort, we wouldn't be talking about this today.
Oh, it's insane.
I've done everything for Mosey.
No!
He's done nothing for me.
Did you hear the little lilt at the end?
That's the version you like best, huh?
See, yeah, I practiced that, and I thought I nailed it there. Who's next?
Let's go to Edward in Pittsburgh, wants to talk about Pickens.
Hello, Edward.
Hello. I wouldn't sign him... because he's not giving me the Hines Ward or Larry Fitzgerald feels. And what I mean by that is they both were very good players, very good with hands like Pickens is. But his mentality on the field of trying to be a team player is not matching what they are.
Well, I used Hines Ward. I appreciate the call as an example. Here, in that Hines was often not overly thrilled with his role in the offense. All receivers want more passes. They all do. And Hines was a classic example. And privately, we would have conversations. You know, I want more passes. I want more passes down the field. But we're a run team. And, you know, sometimes the context was his numbers compared to, you know, greatest show on turf guys. He would say, "I'm never going to have that. You know, I play on a running team mostly." But that never, ever affected his effort. He treated every game, forget every game, every play like it was Super Sunday. And it would be one thing if Pickens had one of these incidents happen, you know? This is just every year. And again, we see in the Fittipaldo story today, multiple times showing up late for work. That's Antonio Brown stuff. Without the Antonio Brown production, I might add, although Pickens has produced. It's a very complex question. I'll say this about Hines Ward, too. If George Pickens blocked as well as Mike Tomlin has blocked for him all week, we'd be calling him Hines Ward Jr. He'd be breaking people's jaws. Instead, we have Ben on his podcast talking about how the Steelers have to work around George's role in the offense with their personnel packages and everything, because on certain plays, to quote Ben, he's not going to block. Think about that. Think about that. That these people who stay up all night game planning over there, Tomlin, Arthur Smith, everybody else, they have to look at certain plays and say, George just isn't going to block on that play. Not that he can't, mind you. Not that he can't. He obviously can. There's clips out there of him blowing people up. More to the point, though, more to the point, anybody can. Calvin Austin was quoted in one of these stories today as saying, yeah, I block. You know, and a lot of times these days, blocking means just kind of getting in somebody's way. Especially, you know, on some of these wide running plays when you don't want to do a Hines Ward and break Keith Rivers' jaw because that's a penalty, or even do anything like that because it's a crack back and, you know, blind slide, all that stuff. Just get in somebody's way and show some effort. Anybody can do that. You could do that limits at 5'10", 140, right?
Yes, 145-ish.
I mean, Calvin Austin's not much bigger than you, but he's willing. But they have to sit there and say, all right, this personnel package on this particular play, you know, all right, George is not going to block there. So do we want him on the field or not? I mean, that's flat out sad, honestly. That is flat out sad.